Any idea how much the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, any idea how much they have in stimulus spending?
Well, yes, but I'm cheating.
You just looked at the script. That's not fair.
Uh-huh.
More than $7 billion in Recovery Act in funding to award and track. And while they may be on the low end compared to some other agencies, EPA must comply with the 175-page guidance the administration recently issued. EPA's success will depend on addressing a common problem that all agencies face. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us right here, right now, live with details about how EPA is meeting this challenge. And so what is this common problem that EPA and everyone else, I mean, just everyone so focused on this, what are they facing and how are they doing it?
It's all about the data. We've said that before. We've talked about data. But really, when it comes to the Recovery Act, how agencies collect, what they collect from the state and local governments, how they publish it to the citizens, this is a huge issue. GAO figures there's about $500 billion out of the $775 billion that have come through the stimulus that will go through the federal government one way or another, whether it's through grants to the state and local governments or whether they're going to put it out through their own spending, whether like GSA and the Public Building Service. And the agencies have to track this data. And this is not easy because we have so many different ways to track the data. They've set up recovery.gov, which we've talked about many times. We've talked about this OMB's guidance that came out, 175 pages that came out April 3rd. What do you do when you collect and manage all this data? So EPA, which, as you mentioned, received about $7.2 billion in Recovery Act funding, which is fairly small compared to, you know, say
HHS, I think.
Yes, there you go. Health IT alone.
Right.
So they're addressing this data issue really first and foremost. They have a senior executive group that focuses on stimulus spending. They have a subcommittee within that group that looking at data and reporting. The subgroup is made up of CIOs, grant and contracting folks, and even program managers. One of the first things they're doing is inventorying their systems. What data do they already collect? What data elements are among those? And where the gaps exist compared to OMB's guidance. And then they have to fill in those gaps. And then, of course, they're working with their state and local and non-government partners to ensure that everyone's on the same page. Because even if EPA fixes their systems, get all the data elements in place they want, and the state and local partners aren't on that page, it's all for naught.
Okay, so you mentioned the OMB guidance. Is that the primary role OMB is playing in all this?
They're doing a couple things, yes. The guidance is huge, and I'm sure there's more coming down the road. Shmendra Paul, who's OMB's chief architect, is leading the recovery.gov effort. His goal, he says, is to aggregate high quantity and high integrity data and create the data models or data standards so agencies, you know, every agency, every state and local government can really start at the same point. When we talk about an award, what's an award?
Right.
It's that old thing. You know, you say the word boat, what's a boat? Well, Chris has a picture of a boat with a sail. Your boat has a motor on it. And mine has two rows, you know, two oars that I'm going to row.
I'll take mine.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Yeah.
So in fact, that is your boat, I think.
Yeah.
So the first thing you have to do is come to that standard agreement of what the data means. Paul says that they have not published the data model yet, but they hope to soon. And this data model also will help reduce the variability among the 25 agencies, the 150 programs that are going to report Recovery Act information. And then the data model also will fit into what they call a workflow model, which will make things a little bit easier to collect and publish this Recovery Act data. And then OMB is also leading the effort to add a feedback mechanism to recovery.gov. Now, they're not quite there yet, but they have to figure out how to deal with the feedback, how to analyze it, and really what the impact of this feedback will be on agencies and of recovery.gov.
And
well, you also learned more about the Government Accountability Office's role in that Recovery Act. You were talking earlier about the role that they play.
They play actually a very significant role. They are going to oversee 16 states, including the district, and then also the District of Columbia, and how they're going to use the funding. And they'll really report on four basic questions, according to Stan Zerinsky, GAO's Director of Strategic Issues.
The first one is, since the money is going to state and local governments from the federal government, what kinds of guidance, requirements, etc., are the state and local governments receiving, and how is that working? The second is, and this is probably one of the most important, and that is, well, how much money has been spent out at the state and local governments, how much has been provided to them, what types of uses do they have for those, again, going back to the intent of the act. The third is looking at the safeguards that are put in place to make sure the money is spent appropriately. So it's looking at the typical procedures that are in place and available to state and local governments, such as the Single Audit Act, internal controls, data reliability checks, and other protocols to ensure that the money is spent properly. And the final is a performance management component that looks at, are the monies actually being used to achieve the intended purposes?
GAO will issue its first report April 23rd, and then they'll report every 2 months after that on those same four questions. And that way, they almost get a real-time view of their oversight in terms of what's happening, where they were 2 months ago, where they were 4 months ago. And that's going to really help agencies really, as they review the reports and comment on them and see the final reports, even though GAO is focused on states and the District of Columbia, remember, agencies are distributing this money, and that's why they'll be included in the review as well. And I think that's a very important point in the role that GAO is playing in terms of oversight.
And one of the really interesting things that came out of this discussion this morning was the role, because you have also inspector generals who are all, and they're trying to make sure that they're not all stepping on one another. So how are they differentiating all that?
Sure. Congress actually, in the Recovery Act, really said, here's the division of labor. GAO will focus on state and local use of Recovery Act. Agency inspector generals will focus on how federal programs are impacted by the Recovery Act funding. In fact, Zerwinski says GAO and the IGs met the day after the bill became law to coordinate that oversight. And when there's overlap, well, they'll continue to, you know, they'll collaborate and they'll try not to step on each other's toes. It was very interesting because you usually don't see that kind of coordination between GAO and IGs.
Right.
And I think that there's somebody made a comment that there's this almost universal acceptance of the mission, not just between GAO and IGs, but in the agencies and the state and local governments. We got to get the money out. We got to be accountable. We got to be transparent. And we got to make sure it gets used in the right way.